Well, good morning, Rocky Point. I've been waiting 8 years to say that. It is good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope everybody's doing well. Hope you had a good week, and I'm blessed to be here today. I appreciate Brother Brad asked me to come in his stead, and looking forward to what God has for us in His Word. Now, before we get started, I want everybody to stand up and make sure you're next to somebody. I don't want anybody by themselves. Stand up and get next to somebody. If you have to move, take a second, go ahead and do that. Don't be bashful. Stand up. All right. Everybody next to somebody. Now, what I want you to do, first of all, I want you to stretch just a little bit. Just kind of stretch, you know, because I don't want you to fall asleep during the sermon. Amen. Stretch just a little bit. All right, now I want you to turn and look at the person next to you. Look them in the eye. And if you have to look across at two of them, that's fine too, just so you're looking at somebody. Everybody looking at somebody. And I want you to repeat after me. You ready? I thank God I don't look like you. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, well, y'all can have a seat. Thank you for doing that. Kind of breaks the ice just a little bit. And if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to look to begin with at verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. God's word says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep. For we say this to you by a word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Bow with me in prayer, if you will. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for giving us the opportunity, Lord, to join together in one accord and worship you. I pray this morning that everyone here receives what it is that you have for them. And I pray, Lord, that you use me as a vessel to speak your word this morning. Thank you again. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Oh, that was weak. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I entitled this today, "Reunited in Glory, Seeing and Knowing One Another in Heaven." As a pastor, as a preacher, I've done many, many funerals. And I've been asked this question many times. Will I know, when I get to heaven, those whom I've loved upon the earth? Will I know them when I get there? Will I ever see them again? Some people say. Oh, let me tell you, church, if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will see one another again. We will know one another again. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, For now we see in a mirror dimly, or indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. That means when I get there, y'all may not recognize me, or I may not recognize you in the state that you are now, but you will be recognizable one to another. You will know one another when you get there. I don't know about y'all, but how many of you have been to the doctor within the last month? Raise your hand. Y'all look around. Keep them up. You've been to the doctor within the last month. Let me tell you what. You can put them down now. I've been to the doctor more in the last year than I've ever been in my life. But you know what? Praise God. We're all still here. Amen. But one day, when we get into heaven, when we walk those streets of gold, we'll have new bodies created in His image, and we won't ever have to go to a doctor again. And do you know why? We're going to be with the great physician, and the body that we have will never grow old. It will never get sick. It will never have to take blood pressure and diabetes medication. It'll never have to go and get vaccinations. The older I get, the more I appreciate that. Young folk, you will too. How many of you young people's ever went and got vaccines at the doctor? You've got shots. Throw your hand up. Don't be bashful. Some of y'all lying. You've went and got shots. It don't feel good. I don't care who gives it to you. It don't feel good. I look forward to not getting shots. I look forward to not being sick. Amen. When we stand at a funeral, we go by a casket, we go by a grave. Grief has a way of making us feel isolated. It has a way of making us feel that we are living in a world of silence that is absolutely deafening. If we lose a spouse, a child, a parent, or dear friend, it hurts us immensely. We wonder if the bond that we have with one another will be something that's gone forever, swallowed up in a vast, nameless eternity. We just wonder what's going to happen. But the Word of God doesn't leave us in the dark, church. I want to comfort you with these profound truths this morning. We will know one another in heaven. Your relationships are not temporary accidents. Have you ever thought about it, where you're placed? Most of you live in Leake County. Anybody live outside of Leake County other than me? Everybody's in Leake County. What county are you in?
Tyler.
Tyler, right up the road, right across the line there. Yeah. You know, we were meant by God to be where we're at. It's no accident that we're here. It's no accident that we have the relationships that we have. It's no accident. Years ago, I won't say how many, it'll tell both of us his age. But years ago, I met a gentleman sitting in this auditorium, sitting over here by the name of Jimmy Edwards, and then his wife, Josephine. He was my landlord for 11 years. 11 years when I had the furniture store. And I'll never forget when I come down to Leake County, I was here for 8 years, and I was going house to house handing out cards and letting people know where I was at and what I was doing and all that. Josephine come and answered the door. I'll never forget it. And she opened that door, and I didn't know where they lived. Didn't know. I thought they lived in Philadelphia, to be honest with you. But she opened the door, and I looked. I said, "Josephine, what are you doing here?" She said, "I live here. What are you doing here?" And then I told her, and we went in and visited for a little bit. But relationships happen all through our lives. We make connections that are no accident. And church, one day, we're as Christians, as children of God, we're going to be together in heaven forever. Y'all ever think about that? Forever. Forever. And I look forward to that day. I look forward to that day. So, what about the relationships you have here? They are designed by God. They are given to you by God. Make the best of them. Make the best of them. When I see somebody I know on the street, I always wave. Some people I talk to, I don't even know. I just go up and start talking to them. I like telling people about Jesus. Hadn't always been like that. But as I get closer to the day that I'm going to meet Him face to face, I realize the best thing I can do with this life is spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a preacher to do that, by the way. You spread the word with the people in your circle, the people you know, the people you love, the people you come into contact with. They may be the only Jesus you ever see. So spread the word. Get prepared for that day when we will know one another in heaven, when our identities will be perfected in heaven. We're not going to lose our identities. We will know as we are known. Look over in Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 33. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 33. Starting in verse 28, about 8 days after this conversation, he took along Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were in a deep sleep, and when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the two men were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he was saying. Some people fear that eternity will wipe our minds clean, making us look identical. Wouldn't that be terrible? That's why I had y'all do that at the beginning. We all have an identity. We all look a little bit different. It is a statistical, I can't say the word. It's a fact that we're all 99.7% the same biologically through DNA. That's a fact. We're all created in the image of God. Let me tell y'all this. I was a youth minister for years, and one thing I encountered with the youth as they come and as they went, all of them had trouble accepting the way they looked. Every single one of them. I would ask every year, how many of y'all have ever looked in a mirror and thought, "I am ugly"? I said, "I want you to be honest. Raise your hand if you've thought, 'I am ugly.'" Every single hand in the room went up every time I asked that question. And I would tell them, "You are not ugly. You are created in the image of Almighty God." But I said, "Boys, you're handsome. Girls, you're beautiful. Don't ever let anybody tell you any different." I said, "Some may be tall, some may be short, some may be wide, some may be skinny. It don't matter. You're created in the image of Almighty God, and you are absolutely, wonderfully, and fearfully made." Amen? Every single one. I want to talk to y'all about the transfiguration real quick that we just read. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah, they appeared with Jesus. They had been gone from earth for centuries, a long time, yet they were not unrecognizable. They knew who they were looking at. They were still Moses and Elijah. They weren't some kind of blob or some kind of faceless entity. They were Moses and Elijah, and Jesus was with them. The disciples knew them. You know, Peter and James and John, they instantly recognized them for who they were. It wasn't any doubt. And you know, this gives a promise for us. If Moses and Elijah kept their identities, church, you know what? We will too. We will too. You will still be you. Your loved ones will still be themselves. That, I wanted to speak on that this morning. God put that on my heart because so many people fear their loss of identity in heaven, that they won't know one another, that when they see grandma, they won't know who she is. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And when you see Jesus, you're going to know who he is, without a doubt. When you see Jesus Christ face to face, pray for that day. Look forward to that day. And until that time, do what you can to spread the word of Christ to as many people as possible and invite them to Jesus. It is imperative that we don't leave anyone behind, that we reach out to as many as possible. 1 Corinthians 13:12. You don't have to turn there. We'll get it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Apostle Paul wrote this. For now we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as, here's the kicker, as I am fully known. You know, when Paul was writing this, he was writing it for the audience of that time, but also for those who are to come, that being us. And everybody who's lived before us and those who will live after us until the return of Christ. There's going to be no more barriers on earth. Our relationships, they're hampered by misunderstandings, distance, hidden hurts. Don't raise your hand, but if you've ever had a misunderstanding or a quarrel with somebody, and everybody in here has, if you're old enough past 2 years old, you've had a disagreement with somebody. There won't be any more of that. There won't be any more hurts. I've been in churches before. Whew. I made them all sit in the middle. They had three rows. You had the middle was empty. You had people over here and people over here. And these people over here mad at them over there. These over here mad at them over there. I made them get up and hug each other's neck and sit right in the middle. I said, get down here to the front. And they got down to the front, and they sat down. I said, sit down beside somebody you don't like. And they sat down. It was all up here at the front. I said, now look around at all the empty seats. I said, instead of fussing and fighting and feuding with one another, get out here and tell people about Jesus and see if you can't fill this place up. One of them told me afterwards, well, they thought that was the preacher's job. They had Sunday night church, so I had round number two. But I told them, the preacher's job is to preach the word of God, to teach the word of God, to visit the shut-ins, to touch those who are lost with the word. But I said, those who are sitting on the seats have a special, special opportunity to win those that they know, those who are around them. One of the hardest things we have to do as a pastor or a preacher is when the invitation is given to stand down here and try to get people to come forward and let us pray with them. Because in their mind, they're thinking, I don't know them. I ain't going to go up there and tell them my problems. I ain't going to go up there and have them pray for me. Am I right? Absolutely, I'm right. I know I hadn't always been a preacher. But let me tell you this. When a child of God offers to pray with you, even a stranger, take that opportunity. When you have the opportunity to pray for someone, take that opportunity. Do it. Because if you don't, it's a missed opportunity. You may not ever have the chance to do it again. Oh, my goodness. You know, in heaven, we're going to have deeper connections than we do here. The fog will be cleared. We will not know each other less than we do now. We will know each other more completely. And the greatest thing I'm looking forward to is knowing Jesus Christ completely. I read his word. I study his word. I pray to him. But I want to be with him face to face. Face to face. To know him completely. And without that right relationship with Jesus, we won't ever have that happen in our lives. Well, what about a joyful recognition? Yeah. You will look into the eyes of those you loved on earth, and you'll see them free from pain, free from sin, and full of the light of Christ. I had a dream not too long ago. I like to die. But praise God, I'm here. Call it a dream, call it a near-death experience, whatever you want. I could hear voices, I mean just hundreds of voices. And I looked out and in my dream, in my vision, whatever you want to call it, and I could see the most beautiful city I've ever seen in my life. Never seen nothing like it. Never. No, words couldn't describe. And people said, well, it was just a dream, because if you'd went to heaven, you'd still be there. I come so close to death. I mean, so close. But God brought me through it. And I'm here today. You know, and I praise God for doctors. Some people don't like doctors, but I praise God for them. But one thing I always ask them, are you a believer? Because I don't want no lost doctor getting his hands all over me. You know, he'd liable to leave a demon with me or something. Then we'd really have a problem. But anyway, I praise God for doctors who love Jesus. Amen. Who take their knowledge of the human body. And they use it. And what meant more to me than anything any of them ever did was before they did anything, they prayed with me. They prayed with me. That meant a lot. We can do that. We can do that. We can do that here upon this earth. Because when we get in heaven, folks, we're not going to be praying for one another. We're going to be praising the Lamb. Amen? We're going to be praising Him. Who gave his life as a sacrifice for each and every one of us. Throw 1 Thessalonians 4 back on the screen, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 13, then 17 and 18. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Now skip down to verse 17. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You see that? Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We need to encourage one another. How often? At Christmas? At Thanksgiving? At Easter, during the 4th of July. No, every day. Every day, encourage one another. You know, as we get older, and those of you that are older know what I'm talking about, you can look at somebody and see if something's troubling them. You can look at them and see it in their face. And they may tell you everything's okay. But take opportunity to encourage them in the Lord. Had somebody text me not too long ago, 10:40 at night. Normally, I'm in the bed at 10 o'clock, you know. I go to bed sometime at 9. I have went to bed at 7:15 if I got tired enough. But I was up, and the phone buzzed. Somebody had sent me a text and said they was thinking about me. Well, this one individual I knew wouldn't send me no text at 10:40 at night unless something was wrong. So I asked him, I said, how's things going in your life? Is anything the matter? It was a pause, and then I got a reply back. A lot of things are happening, but I'm relying on God, and I would appreciate your prayers. And I said, absolutely. I said, would you care to share it with me? He said, well, not really, but God knows what it is. That's what we call unspoken prayer request. When somebody reaches out, even in a vague way, and they need a touch from heaven, they need you to pray for them. Take advantage of that time, because one day, if we invest in the folks that are here upon this earth, we will have them with us. When we're caught up together. Amen? When we're caught up together. Paul says that when Christ returns, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Somebody asked me not long ago, well, if the rapture happens, what you going to do with your show car? I got a 73 Chrysler that I show. It was my first car. I said, I don't care. I won't need it. Well, what about your clothes? I probably got 20 suits, and very seldom do I wear one. But I said, I don't care. I don't care. And then I had a little fun with it. I said, let the heathens come get what they want and have a party. I don't care, you know, because I'm not going to need it where I'm going. My question this morning is, how about you? How about you? Are you ready? If that trumpet sounds, if that trumpet sounds and we're caught up together, in the air. Are you ready for that day? If you look at this word together, God doesn't rescue us as isolated individuals. He rescues us as a family, church. As a family, the family of God. And we can be comforted in this. Paul concludes by saying, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. There's no comfort in a reunion if you can't recognize the people you're reuniting with. Amen? The comfort comes from knowing a grand family reunion is awaiting. I look forward to that day. I want to conclude with this. While we celebrate the joy of seeing our loved ones, church, we got to remember what makes heaven truly heaven. My Bible says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession. What does that mean? He's sitting there. Every prayer you lift up, Jesus takes it to God. Every time you voice a concern, Jesus takes it to God. The Father knows your heart. Some people say, well, how can he do that? He's omnipresent. Somebody tell me what omnipresent means. Sir?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. He's not like us because he's spirit. He can be everywhere, but he retains the knowledge of every prayer that's ever prayed, and it is delivered to him through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, when that day comes, we're not going to be wandering streets of gold merely looking for our earthly families. We're not. Our eyes will first be captured, church, by the King of Kings. The joy of seeing each other, it's a reflection of the joy of seeing Jesus. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Because he conquered the grave. Death is no longer, it's no longer a permanent separation. It's merely a temporary pause. A temporary pause. The Bible says life is but a vapor. How many of you older folk, and by that I mean 55 plus, how many of y'all can remember when you was a kid riding your bicycle, playing out in the yard, maybe swinging on a rope going off into the pond or a river? How many of y'all can remember doing that? Raise your hand. Look around. How many of you remember doing it like it was just 2 or 3 months ago? Raise your hand. Is that fresh on your mind? Look around. Time passes so quick, so fast. I turned 62-year-old this year. 62. And I used to think that somebody that was 62 was on death's door. I really did. As a child, I would look and say, look at them. They're about half in the grave, you know. Them folk is old, you know. I was telling Hunter earlier that the class that I would be in now, we called it From Here to Eternity, you know, our Sunday school class. But time passes so quick, so fast. My question this morning, as we conclude, is are we ready to meet him face to face? Are we ready to see Jesus and hear him say one of two things? We're all going to see him. Everybody's going to see him. But he's going to say one of two things. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Or he's going to say, depart from me, ye who work iniquity, for I never knew you. Let me be honest with you. If you hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, heaven is yours. You've got heaven for eternity. If you hear, depart from me, ye who work iniquity, for I never knew you, hell is your destination. I'm a part of South Louisville Baptist Church. When I'm not preaching, don't get to be there much. But we do something called Judgment House every year. I encourage you to come in October. It'll be advertised in the newspapers and the radio. Judgment House depicts those who hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. and those who hear, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you. It depicts the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. It's something that awaits every single one of us. My question today is, where are you going to go? Let me get this straight. Some people think you got to straighten up before you come to Jesus. That ain't the case. You come to Jesus and he'll do the straightening. He'll do the straightening. When I got saved, I was a hellion of all hellions. I read what Paul says, speaking of himself, and I think, brother, you ain't got nothing on me. But, you know, who knows? He may have. But I come to Christ, a lost man, separated from God, living for myself, living in the world. Jesus changed my life and continues to change my life daily. And it's a continual, ongoing process. And when that change is complete, he's going to call me home. He's going to call me home. Same with you. Today, do you know that your name's in that Lamb's Book of Life? That if you take your last breath and you can die young or old, somebody up at home got killed on a four-wheeler just a couple weeks ago, 15 years old. You can die at any age. Are you ready to meet him face to face? There's two things that's required. One is repent of your sins. That means turn from your sins and not want to sin anymore. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin. It means you don't want to sin anymore. Turn from your sin. Repent. And secondly, ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. That's imperative that you do that. He has to know you. And he has to be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How do you get that told to you at the time of death? You get it told to you because you've accepted Christ and you have a relationship with him. We're going to have an invitation. And if this message is spoke to you today, don't wait. Get up and come down this aisle. I know I'm a stranger to most of you, but let me tell you, I love you in Jesus, and I will pray with you earnestly and sincerely. If you need a touch from heaven today, and I can be of help, please come forward. If you know of somebody who's lost, and everybody does, we've got family members, we've got friends who are lost and dying and going to hell. Pray for them. Pray for them. And don't just do it on Sunday. Do it daily. I'm going to ask that this time you stand to your feet. And the pianist, if you would just play. I don't want folks to sing. Stand to your feet, and if God is calling you to make a move this morning, don't wait. Turn loose of that pew and come on up here as the piano plays.
Thank you for watching and being with us today. We're so glad you joined us, and we invite you to come back and join us next week.